Blog Talk Radio. Good morning. We praise God for each one of you. You're listening to your host, Evangelist Benson, and we are back here on Victory Against All Odds. Thank each and every one of you for joining me on this morning. It is 11:06 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we're just excited about being back on the air. We have had a break, been on the road traveling, ministering on the airwaves via television in Lumberton, North Carolina. And so we just thank God for open doors. We thank God for God enlarging our territory. We thank God for each and every one of you, the veterans. We celebrated Veterans Day live or via television in Lumberton. So I've missed you all. I know you've missed me. And so today I wanted to do a little bit different. And just because it is Happy Thanksgiving to you all, to all my listeners, those who would listen later in the afternoon or archives, just wanted to give each and every one of you a Happy Thanksgiving. And all that we've talked about, all that we've been through, it is about the close of the year. So wanted to just stop, pause, and just give thanks where thanks is needed, where thanks is deserved, where we need to just be appreciative of what we've gone through, take a little peek back, and just look where we've come since the beginning of the year. Here we are getting ready to close 2012. Wanted to do a little bit different today. I wanted to, first and foremost, read Psalms 100, and it reads, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord for all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name." Verse 5 says, "For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generation." We thank God for the reading of Psalms 101 through 5 as we come in the spirit of thanksgiving. And we also wanted to just read, I wanted to read a few poems, Thanksgiving Day prayers, and then we're going to move forward into a word of God concerning why we should be in the spirit of Thanksgiving, why we should have a spirit of being thankful, however you want to phrase that. Okay. This poem comes from Mary Fairchild. It says, "For beauty in nature your glory will see, for joy and health, friends and family, for daily provision, your mercy and care. These are the blessings you graciously share." So today we offer this response of prayer with a promise to follow you all of our days. And that particular poem comes from Mary Fairchild. I wanted to do another one. It's called a Thanksgiving Day prayer. And it reads, "Lord, so oftentimes as any other day, when we sit down to our meal and pray, we hurry along and make fast and the blessing. Thanks, amen, now please pass the dressing. We've slaved to the olfactor's overload. We must rush our prayers before the food get cold. But, Lord, I'd like to take a few minutes more to really give thanks to what I'm thankful for my family, my health, a nice soft bed, my friends, my freedom, a roof over my head. I'm thankful right now to be surrounded by those whose lives touch me more than they'll ever possibly know. Thankful, Lord, that you've blessed me beyond measure. Thankful that in my heart, live life's greatest treasure, that you, dear Jesus, resides in that place. And I'm ever so grateful for your unending grace. So please, Heavenly Father, bless this food you've provided and bless each and every one and every person invited. Amen. We've gathered together to ask the Lord's blessing. He chastens and hastens his will to make known. The wicked oppressing now cease from distressing. Sing praises to his name. He forgets not his own. Besides us to guide us, our God with us joining, ordaining, maintaining his kingdom divine. So from the beginning, the fight we were winning. Though Lord was at our side, all glory be thine. We will do exalt things, our leader triumphant, and pray that thou still our defender will be. Let thy congregation escape tribulation. Thy name be forever praised. O Lord, make us free. Amen. On today, we give thanks. Praise God. Our Heavenly Father, we give thanks for the pleasure our gathering together for this occasion. We give thanks for his food prepared by loving hands. We give thanks for life, the freedom to enjoy it all and all other blessings. We partake of this food. We pray for health and strength to carry on and try to live as you would have us. This we ask in the name of Christ, our Heavenly Father. Amen. Amen. Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to you all. For each new morning with its light, for rest and shelter of the night, for health and food, for love and friends, for everything thy goodness sends. Oh, we thank God on today. We thank God for his blessings. We thank God for having the spirit of Thanksgiving. But that is the question. What is the spirit of Thanksgiving? Why should we have the spirit of Thanksgiving? What does that look like according to the word of God? Amen. So, if you have your Bibles and a pen and paper on today, you need to write down some scriptures. We're going to go shift today, coming in the office of the evangelist today. We're going to talk about having the spirit of Thanksgiving. Yes, we've been through some things this year. Today, there are those who've lost loved ones. Today is a day where we could be depressed. Some have lost moms, fathers, children, relatives, friends this year. Some even as early as this week. But in all things, we still give thanks. We give thanks. Why do we give thanks? We give thanks because we are here. We give thanks because we woke up with the activities of our limbs. We give thanks because we are clothed in our right mind. Hallelujah. We give thanks because it is just the will of the Father to give thanks. Well, why do you say that when I've lost my loved one this week? Why would you say that? Well, I'm getting ready to take you there. And I'm going to show you why we need to give thanks. It is the right thing to do. So grab your pen, your paper on today. As we give thanks, we're going to go to Ephesians 5, starting at the 18th verse through the 21st. And then we'll mark your Bible, go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting at the 18th verse. Okay, over in Ephesians 5, starting at the 18th verse, it reads, "And be not drunk with wine and any other false stimulus, whether it be wine or beer or any, you know, controlled substance, as we talked about substance abuse and things of that nature. So whatever that thing is that causes you to be captive, you put it in there. Be not drunk with wine or any other false stimulus, wherein is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." Now go over to 1 Thessalonians 5, starting at the 18th verse, and it reads, "In everything give thanks." I'm going to say that again, because the question is, why would I do that if I've lost loved ones, if, you know, I've lost in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. The Bible tells us to quench not the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5, 18 and 19. I'm going to read it again. Make sure you get this down in your spirit. It says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." And then he tells us to quench not the Spirit. He is giving us instructions. He says, quench not the Spirit. Now, let's break this down. Let's take it slow. And I wanted you to notice the attitude and how the attitude of thanksgiving and the spirit of a person is closely related in the verses that we just read in Ephesians 5, 18 and 21, and 1 Thessalonians 5, 18 and 19. So let's take a look at the attitude of thanksgiving and the spirit of a person. In Ephesians 5, it says, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." So speaking to ourselves in your heart, giving thanks always. Now, 1 Thessalonians 5 says, "In everything give thanks." So see how those verses are closely related and that it connects to a commandment. He's saying, quench not spirit. He says, quench not spirit. Speaking to yourselves in your heart, give thanks always. Quench not spirit. This is why we are to have spirit of thanksgiving. Now, let's talk about ministry. Let's talk about the ministry of feeding the hungry, a ministry of visiting and relieving the sick, the ministry of providing for the poor and the orphans, and the ministry of comforting those who are in sorrow, those who have lost loved ones, those who may be feeling sad. These are all blessed ministries that we all ought to be engaged in whenever God opens the door of opportunity. In other words, what I am saying, these need to be part of the ministry in our daily lives. At some point in time, whenever God opens that door, we need to have the spirit to do these things. Here's another ministry that we don't talk about that's not included here. What about the ministry of blessing others by having a spirit of cheerfulness? Again, what about the spirit of cheerfulness? We don't think about that because all these other ministries that I spoke of, visiting and relieving the sick, providing for the orphans and the poor, and comforting those who are sorrow, those ministries are something that we can manifest in the physical by doing something, if you will, tangible. You know, we have to literally go and visit the sick and relieve them. We have to visit the poor. We need, you know, feed the poor, the orphans. But what about the spirit of cheerfulness? Because we can do these things and be cheerful. We do them out of formality, meaning it's not in our heart, because it's something to be seen. But to truly have the spirit of cheerfulness puts us on another level. Amen. So if you recall, those are older, and when I say older, I mean in age, might remember the legend using corns, spawning the lilies. It says it's the legend of you may be beautiful to look at, but you are not useful because you cannot feed the hungry. However, Jesus, when he wanted an illustration to picture God's loving care in the Word of God, he says, consider the lily of the field. So that takes me to the vineyard, takes me back to the vineyard, takes me back to us seed and harvest. So, again, Jesus says, consider the lily of the field. So God's standard for usefulness is not the same as what man's notion, thought, or idea is. He has a different standard than we do. So every man carries a certain spirit and atmosphere about them. Their spirit can be helpful and healthy and vibrant to others, or it can be unwholesome and depressing to those they meet. So in other words, what I'm saying that we need to make sure that we are carrying the spirit of cheerfulness, if you will, in our hearts, because that which is down on the inside comes out of us. So everyone can make a little spot in the world a little bit sweeter, or a little bit bitter and disagreeable simply by the spirit that he or she carries around with him or her. So whatever that thing is that we're carrying, we are responsible for making the world sweeter or bitter or disagreeable or contentious. This is what I'm saying. I'm going somewhere. Just stick with me. Okay, God says we are responsible for the atmosphere we carry. In 1 Thessalonians 14 and 32, he tells us that the spirit of a man is subject to a man. So that means we're responsible for our attitude. So God can and he desires and enables us to always be cheerful with thanksgiving, with a thanksgiving spirit, but he will not override our will. So we must decide to do God's will. So how can we be cheerful and thankful when things go wrong? That's a question. Think about that for just a moment. How can we be cheerful and thankful when things go wrong? I'm giving you a moment to ponder that thing. How can we be cheerful and thankful when things go wrong? Amen. Okay, so it's not that simple, is it? It's not that simple. It's not simple just like making up your mind that you're going to do, to change. It's part of our personality. It just is. To be thankful and cheerful is a process, is what I'm really saying, that's developed through lessons learned. It's developed through our experiences that we've lived and the impressions and the influences that we learn to respond in a manner that God's word commands us to. Remember, he said, quench not the spirit. So we have to develop and learn and experience those things. It is a process that we have to do, but at the end of the day, it is about the will of God. And us making our minds up to do the will of God as the word commands. So there are those who are discontent. They're unhappy. They have allowed this particular type of spirit to run them, to rule them. So they cannot truthfully blame their heredity. They can't blame their environment or their influences around them. It is a decision that they've made in their heart, in their mind. They're just discontent. They're happy. They're bitter. They're angry. Because of life experiences, as we talk about child abuse, as we talk about depression, as we talk about suicide, it is a mindset. That's why he tells us to renew our mind and take on the mind of Christ. So, but if we take it into apply the word God commands, and he demands cheerfulness of all of us. However, God also supplies. He also supplies. He supplies our needs. For the Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you. See, he gave us joy. He gave us joy and that your joy might remain full. John 15:11. So he commands and he demands that we be cheerful. So he supplied us with this thing called joy. And he's saying to us that our joy might remain in you. So he already gave us the joy. The joy is already down in us. And that it remains full. We all believe that in a person's character, truthfulness, honesty, and kindness is imperative. It is necessary. It is absolutely necessary. It is important. However, there is another duty. So along with the characteristics of being truthful, honest, and kind, we got another duty. And what would you think that duty is? That duty is to take that which is on the inside of us and spread happiness and cheerfulness to those who we meet. Amen. Now, if we apply this back to the word of God, we know that Jesus was a man of sorrows, and I said S. He was a man of sorrows, but his life was radiant. Think about that. He was a man of sorrows, but his life was radiant. He always had an inner joy. He never cast a dark shadow on the others that were in his presence. There was never anyone who was depressed because of his presence. They may have been convicted because of their sins or our sins, and we're applying this to us, and I say us because I'm not leaving myself out. We may have been convicted because of his presence. Or if we knew that we weren't doing something right or living a righteous lifestyle before him. But Jesus never spread the spirit of depression, even though he was a man of sorrows. He had a radiant glow. That which which radiated or came out of him was radiant. It was joy. That inner joy is what was manifesting outwardly to him. Some folks seem to think that religion makes us solemn, but the Bible tells us to rejoice in the Lord. He commanded us to rejoice. Then he puts the source of our rejoicing within our hearts. Remember, this is a heart issue. So Jesus said in his word that in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And that's John 16:33. God has never promised to take all the pain and the sorrow out of our lives, but he said he would, we could, and we ought to be joyful in the midst of our tribulations. Again, John 16:33 says, in the world ye shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He took that on for us. So he is saying, though we be tested, though we have pain, though we have sorrow, though we've been abused, though we've been talked about, though we've been lied on, though we've been kicked, spit on, we ought to be joyful in the midst of our tribulation. I know you're saying, Evangelist Benton, please. I'm going somewhere. Stick with me. And when we get to the end, you shall have joy. You shall have the spirit of thanksgiving, no matter what it looks like, tastes like, smell like, or feel like. You shall have joy. Okay. So what am I saying? This doesn't mean that we are insensitive to our surroundings. It doesn't mean that we don't feel grief and have and be tender towards the trials of others. It doesn't mean that we have a hard heart. But it does mean that even though there are those that are surrounding us that may be grieving on today, that may not be a little bit depressed on today, may be feeling helpless or hopeless or having the spirit of helplessness or hopelessness, we can be of good cheer through all of it because Jesus has overcome the world. He met the world and came out victorious. And now in him, we can have peace. I'm going to say that again. I can't say all of it because this is the Holy Ghost speaking. But what I'm saying is that because he met the world, he came out victorious because we are in him and is in us. In other words, he abides in us and we abide in him, and that he drank the cup. Remember, he says, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. What was in the cup? So what do you perceive to be in that cup that he took on for us, that he drank for us, that he died on the cross for us? In him, we have peace. So I'm not speaking of like self-improvement, but I'm talking about cheerfulness. And we know that cheerfulness is not something that we have of ourselves. Remember, I read Psalms 100. It says, verse 3, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. For we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. He gave us a commandment. He told us to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. It says, be thankful unto him and bless his name. So we're not talking about self-improvement. We're not talking about the cheerfulness that is of ourselves. It is like God's love or his power, because we have the power invested in us. It is not something that is given that becomes our property to own. So this cheerfulness is not something that's given to become our property, but rather it is Jesus, that Jesus is, and because he lives in us, within us, it is an expression of his life within, is where I'm going with this. So what are you saying? For instance, love is not something that God gives us and it's our property. God is love, and because he lives within us, we have his love expressed through our lives. Scripture doesn't teach us that we are given God's life and it becomes our property, but rather he says that Jesus says that I am life. And because he lives within our heart, our life becomes an expression of his life. So God desires to manifest himself in his perfect life through our life. So we are the walking witness of him, so that we are his witnesses because he abides and lives in us. It is the height of marvel that man manifests himself through us, that God manifests himself through us. So when people look at us, they see him, not us. They see God. They see the manifestation of what is down on the inside of us, like planting a seed. We plant the seed down on the inside. So what is planted shall come up. That harvest shall come up. You plant an apple, you'll get an apple. So apple comes up. So that's what's going to be manifested on that tree. So if we plant joy, if we plant happiness, we shall reap, and that is what's manifested through us. Joy, happiness, peace, cheerfulness, gladness, love, compassion. These are the things that are missing. God gave me a word yesterday. What is missing? What is missing? These are the things that is missing. Let's talk about like. Like can only fellowship with like. So man cannot have true fellowship with an animal, not even their dog, even though we say that a dog is a man's best friend. But if we go back to the earlier scriptures, like can only fellowship with like. So the greatest marvel or the greatest height of personality is to look at a person and say, God is here. God is there. God is there. Jesus said, in the world ye shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So we need troubles. The test of our Christian is how we react to those adverse circumstances, situations. So do you magnify unhappy experiences, or is your heart filled with joy, happiness, hope, cheerfulness? I'm going to say that again. In the world ye shall have tribulation. So it's not a surprise. He told you that in the beginning. We will have tribulations. Why? Because we were created in the image of Christ. And if we call it ourselves being like him, then we're going to have to suffer it. Jesus suffered. We shall suffer too. But he told us to be of good cheer. For he has already overcome the world. So we need trouble. And the testing of our faith comes from how we respond to the circumstances, to the situation, to what, so we can't respond to what it looks like. So what are we going to manifest? What are we going to magnify? Are we going to magnify our unhappy experiences? And that's not to say that we don't. Child abuse, sexual abuse, depression, suicide, those are the manifestations of an unhappy experience, of our unhappy experiences. But our heart should still, at some point, be filled with joy, hope, and cheerfulness. Well, we know that we dwell in an earthen vessel called the flesh. So this is part of my assignment that says, I know you've been through these things, but we can't stay there because the Word of God says we need troubles and that this is our test. But he says, I have overcome the world, and he told us to be of good cheer. So my kingdom assignment is for you to have cheer, to be full of joy, to have hope, and to overcome, to be an overcomer, to be more than a conqueror through your unhappy experience. Because you have hope, because you have joy, we just need to pull it up. Because it was a testing of your faith. So why? You can have the spirit of thanksgiving to give back to others, the spirit of cheerfulness to give back to others, to go and let someone else know that you have overcome. And now you are of good cheer. So here's another question. What do you keep on record? Remember, our minds are nothing but little tapes of recorded records of our experiences, of our thoughts, of our, you know, of life. So they are records. Your mind is a record. It's a tape recorder. So do you let the trials spoil gladness or the blessings of the Lord? We need to learn to see beauty in unsightly trials, and we need to learn to be secure in Jesus Christ. That is us examining ourselves. Now, what do we see in others? Do we see their shortcomings, their faults, their bad manners, their lack of respect? But does that annoy you? Are you critical of others and looking for their faults? And do you judge them? Do you rob them of this cheerful spirit? What does your record look like? Now, when we're being critical of others and we're looking for their faults and then judging them, when we do this, it robs us of our cheerful spirit. That's my point. When we're being critical of others and we're looking for their faults and we're judging them, it robs us of our cheerful spirit. That's why the Bible says, look to the hill, which comes your help. If we can't learn anything else from them, we learn patience. We can be like a doctor who is present not to criticize and find fault, but rather be a healer and help them. We've got to have patience. And why? Because Jesus is patient with us. We have not arrived. We're not all this in the bag of chips. And someone was patient with us. Lord knows someone was patient with me because I was a mess. I was a mess. Someone was patient with me. And guess what? Go and thank them for being patient with you. You know what you put them through. You know how disobedient you were, how you didn't listen. You gave them hell. But they were patient with you. Now look at where you've come. Look at the obstacles and that you have overcome because they were patient with you. See, they had the spirit of cheerfulness. They had the spirit of thanksgiving. They had hope, they had joy, and they had patience. Sounds like the Spirit with me, to me. God's word tells us a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. That's Proverbs 17 and 22. Now, we can read that in another translation, and it reads like this. A cheerful heart does good like a medicine, but a broken, dejected spirit makes one sick. So what am I saying? A discouraged spirit will weaken our energies. We won't feel like doing anything. We don't feel like being patient. We don't feel like being kind. We don't feel like having joy. But we manifest those things that are in that cup, those things that Jesus drank in the cup. He drank the root of wickedness in that cup for us. So since he took that on for us and he did nothing wrong at the cross, then let us be mindful of the command, quench not the spirit. And let us have a spirit of thanksgiving. And let us manifest that through those that we meet. And when we do that, then we're spreading a little spot of sweetness in the world. And we're being thankful on today, especially for where God has brought us. It has been a year, but each day it gets a little sweeter, a little better, because we decided that we were going to spread a little joy, of some hope, and have the spirit of cheerfulness. And that we were going to not be selfish, but we're going to share it with someone else who needs the same, who needs a little of what you have. They don't want to be held captive, but they want a little bit of that freedom too. So that the spirit of depression is driven out, the spirit of hopelessness is driven out, the spirit of helplessness no longer resides in their heart. Amen. Amen. So, I have about 10 minutes left. I do apologize. The chat room is not working. Blog Talk is on vacation today. Otherwise, I would have had the chat room open. So for those of you who are listening, what are you thankful for? What are you thankful for? I want to hear from you. What are you thankful for? What has God done for you? Or why are you especially thankful on today? Press 1. Dial in, press 1. 818-572-2919. I'd love to hear from you. What are you thankful for? We have a lot to be thankful for, even through the hard times, even though it's been a little rough. Yes, we've lost our loved ones. Yes, that person hurt you. They were unkind. We can no longer hold grudges. We can't hold that person hostage because they're going on and doing whatever they're going to do, and you're held captive in thought, in your anger, in your bitterness, in your sadness. And they're gone on about their way. They haven't thought anything about it, but now you're held captive in your heart, in your mind, because you're holding a record. And God told us not to quench the spirit. And so, therefore, that which is on the inside is manifesting on the outside. And wherever you go, you're spilling that into the lives of those that you meet. But that is not what the word told us to do. He said, in all things, in everything, give thanks. It is a command. And quench not the spirit. So on today, we need to open up our hearts. We need to make a decision that we're going to be obedient to the will of God. And the will of God is for us to be cheerful, to give thanks in all in everything. After all, he took that up on the cross so that we would have life and have it more abundantly, so that we could enlarge the territory, so that we could show others that we are more than conquerors because we have Christ that lives on the inside of us. And though it isn't always pleasant, and that every day is not a bed of roses, that is not what we're saying. But to be able to look beyond what we feel, what we see, and grab hold of some faith in the spirit of thanksgiving, the spirit of cheerfulness that we would spread for those who may not have food, who may be sick on today. We speak healing. We release the healing virtues to you on today. To those who may be bound, we speak the word of God to your mind today. We lose hope that mind set, and we ask God to open and change your mindset so that you begin to think like Christ, that you'll be able to be free from that thing that holds you captive. But in order for that to happen, you have to have an open heart and an open mind. That Bible tells us to oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. So you've tried everything else. Nothing seems to be working. You're wondering why you're struggling with your finances, why you can't seem to keep a job, why this one hurt you, why that one hurt you, why this one walked away. Some desire husbands, some desire wives. Examine yourself. It starts with us. Look in your heart. Look at your mindset. Things can't always go the way that you want to. Okay, that was then, and this is now. Change your mindset. Just because that's the way it always was doesn't make it right. This is why you're struggling with that thing. But God says, have a cheerful heart. Don't quench the spirit. Be thankful in everything. Don't quench the spirit. So that thing that holds you, that keeps you bound, that's frustrated, that bottle, he says, don't. Wine or strong drink, not today, because when we do that, we're still covering up. We're still trying to medicate the pain. Why would you want to put a band-aid on that pain instead of giving it back to where it came from? Give the pain up and you won't have to cover it up, because when you're sober, it's still there looking at you in the face. Just get rid of the whole thing. Pull up that root so that it's no longer in your garden. Pull the root up, and then we won't have to deal with that hurt, that disappointment, that sorrow, that grief, that anger, that frustration. Pull it up and cast it into the sea and plant the spirit of thanksgiving so that when it comes up, it flourishes and it flows to everyone that you meet, and I guarantee you everything will begin to take on a different look. It is now time for us to allow God to enable you to be habitually cheerful, that you will find life is not half so bad and life will be a lot easier and be much more encouraging to others. So when we plant the spirit of thanksgiving in our hearts, we reap cheerfulness and we share it, and it spreads and it flows out of our heart, out of our being, out of our pores, out of our mouth, and then we can be encouragement to others. We have 2 minutes left. I thank each and every one of you. I am done. Each and every one of you for listening. If you're listening by way of archives, thank you for listening. And in all things, give thanks. Just the mere fact that you're able to lift your hand, have your right mind and the activities of your limbs, is enough to give thanks. There are those who are in wheelchairs, but guess what? I bet you they give thanks because they could not have life. They may not be able to walk on their feet, but they have a chair that will keep them moving. There's someone who can't move. They can't lift their arms or move their legs. They're paralyzed from the waist down, but guess what? They can raise their hand. Give thanks. There may be those who may be paralyzed from the neck down. They can't move their arms, legs, or extremely low, but they can speak. Give thanks. And if they're not speaking, they have the little equipment where they can move the little thing to get their expressions out to those who are around them so that they're communicating. Give thanks. Because the ultimate is to be 6 feet under, and you can't give praise when you're dead. So as long as there's life in your body, give thanks. Thank you for joining me on Victory Against All Odds. I am your host, Evangelist Benton. Please join me again. May you have a nice day in your travels. In all things, give thanks. God bless you and have a good day. God bless you.